What makes us unified as a church? Excellent question. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
It is not our denominational name, and it's not what we wear or anything like that, but it's our unity that we have in Jesus, that we can embrace each other on the basis of who we are in Jesus Christ. That's where we have unity within the church, not on the basis of anything else. We'll never be united over the pastor's opinions, never, because everybody has a different opinion. As the old saying goes, you know, everybody has an armpit. Everybody's got a different opinion. Amen. But the reality is that our unity, is our brotherly harmony is in the fact that we're in Christ.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
In times of national trial, where should we turn? In times of personal tragedy, which we all experience from time to time, where should we turn? It doesn't matter if it's a national political mess or a seemingly insignificant loss on a personal level, we should always turn to God. The world says handle it yourself, stand on your own two feet, while the Bible tells us to turn your troubles over to God. Today on The Dwelling Place, our journey through the Psalms continues as we look at the experiences of King David and see the folly of mankind's predisposition toward trying to handle everything on his own. Our text is Psalms 132. Here's our teacher, Al Pittman, with today's message.
Mother, you know, toddler grandson Deshaun had a little guitar that I bought my boys some years ago, and my other grandson had a guitar, and we were all jamming in the house, you know. And playing and making a bunch of noise. And I listened to my older grandson. He was singing about Jesus. I thought, here's a Kodak moment spiritually. He may look back on this day. I remember when I used to sit and play with my grandpa and sing about Jesus. See, that's putting some treasure in the storehouse. Oh, I may not see him ever preach the gospel. I may be around the next 20 years or whatever. But you know what? God's going to touch his life and use that moment. Boy, isn't it great to be a grandpa? Amen? Great to be a gangster. No, it's great to be a grandpa. Amen? To be able to sow those kind of seeds in the life of our children and our grandchildren, I should say. But I believe that's what David did. He stored up. He laid up treasure. How about you? How about your children? Well, I don't have any kids. Well, how about the people that you influence? The Bible says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, people who laid the foundation, who put a storehouse of faith and of examples of godliness laid up for us so that we can look back and read about their lives and be inspired through their sacrifice, through that great hall of faith and that we read in the scriptures and about those who've gone on before us. What will our history read? Will people be able to read about our lives and be inspired to live for Jesus? But that's what we get to leave behind. We'll leave them the stones and the wood and the jewels and the gold and the silver, whatever they need, so they can look back on your life and go, yeah, I can make it. I can build for the glory of God. I can continue on for the glory of God. I can impact my generation for the glory of God because somebody stored up something for me, an example of faith that I can now glean from. Amen? Verses 6 to 10, so David did not get to build the temple, but his son Solomon did. And here we have the temple is realized under Solomon in verses 6 to 10. He says, behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. So here, the psalmist is now focused on the fact that the temple is built. It's been realized under the reign of Solomon, and the people are saying, you know, Lord, arise and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Evidence of the fact that the temple at this particular stage in his psalm that he's acknowledging the fact it has been erected, and that by Solomon. The you want to see the read the account of the temple being built, you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 6, and then 2 Chronicles chapter 2 to 7 talks about the account of the temple being built and all that. But Ephrathah, mentioned here, is actually Bethlehem. Probably says it in the margin of your Bible. And the woods mentioned here, he says, and we found it in the field of the woods. Could be probably alluding to the materials that they used or helped in constructing the temple. But it can also be translated, the woods, in the fields of Jar or Jar. Jar is the poetic name of Kirjath-Jearim. Kirjath-Jearim. And what is significant about Kirjath-Jearim is that the ark remained there for a while after it returned back from the Philistines who had taken it captive. The story is given to us in 1 Samuel chapter 4, also in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 5 to 13. That's where the ark resided until David brought it up to Jerusalem. And then, of course, you remember the famous story how David said, well, you know, we brought the ark this far. We'll take it up to Jerusalem. We'll just throw it on this brand new cart, and we'll get it on up to the hill here, the mountain, and to the top of Mount Moriah, and carry it up that way. And of course, he was doing it not according to the way God prescribed. And you remember the story how Uzzah, when the ark was going across the threshing floor, and the oxen stumbled, and how Uzzah reached out to steady the ark, and when he touched the ark, he was killed. God killed him. God says, I don't need any help. But David was bringing the ark up the wrong way. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But that is the significance of Kirjath-Jearim, is that the ark was there for a while when it returned from the country of the Philistines until David took it up to Jerusalem, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 5 to 13. And he says here in Psalm 132, he says, it is time. And he says, arise, O Lord, verse 8, to your resting place. And that is, you know, the temple or the Holy of Holies where they would place the Ark of the Covenant in the day of Solomon. And but here's the idea. The idea is that the Old Testament, there's, you know, where's God's resting place today? Well, there is no resting place for God, no tabernacle, no temple, if you will, on earth. But there is a New Testament temple. And you know that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that we are the temple of God. Can we say to God, Lord, arise and come and rest in your dwelling place? We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And is God at peace and at rest within us or with the things that he finds within us? And that is really the question we need to be asking ourselves, because we now, God has come to live inside of every believer who gives their life to Jesus Christ. We've been sealed, the Bible says, with the seal of the Spirit, the Spirit of promise, sealed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us today. So there is no tabernacle today where the presence of God is. And even God told David, he said, you can't build me a house. How are you going to contain me within a house? You know. But so that the people would have a place to honor God, God said his presence would dwell with them in the temple, in the tabernacle in Jerusalem. Of course, that's been destroyed. And now in the New Testament, those who put their faith in Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit dwells within us as believers. But notice, where the presence of the Lord resides, the ark of his strength is there. He says, Lord, arise, you in the ark of your strength. And that is his mighty presence to deliver according to his promises. According to his promises. I mean, that's the ark represented the promises of God for the children of Israel. And the ark of God's promises are God's promises given to us in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says all of his promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let his saints shout for joy. Verse 9, the latter part says, and let your saints shout for joy. And indeed, we can shout for joy because indeed God has arisen and he dwells within our hearts, within the temple, by his presence. Verses 11 to 18, well, let me finish with verse 10. He says, for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. That word anointed literally means commissioned one. That one would be David. Lord, you've commissioned him, you've anointed him and blessed him for a certain purpose in the history of Israel and for the salvation of the world, that from his lineage would come the Messiah. And he's saying, Lord, for your servant's sake, do not take away the face of your anointed, of your presence. Verse 11, he says, the Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach you, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forever. Now, we know that the kings of Israel were not faithful to keep the word of God. The kings of Israel or the kings of Judah, the southern part of Israel, both ended up sinning against God. Northern Israel being carried away in the Assyrian captivity, and southern Israel being carried away in the Babylonian captivity. So they did not keep the testimonies of God. But God promised if they would keep my word, they would continue to reign on the throne. But God always has a plan despite man's failure.
That should be encouraging to all of us. Despite our failures, God always has a plan. Pastor Al will be back with the second half of today's message in just a moment. As we course our way through the year 2023, there are some very heavy challenges ahead for each of us. Would you like someone to pray for you? We would count it a real blessing to be able to do that. So share your prayer needs with us by going to our website, cwccs.org, and click the Need Prayer tab at the top of the homepage. That's cwccs.org. And thanks for remembering the dwelling place in your prayers as well. Let's join Pastor Al now for the second half of today's message in Psalm 132, beginning in verse 13.
He says in verse 13, for the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Amen. Therefore, he says, there I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I have clothed with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. This is a prophetic word as well concerning the reign of Christ in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, will return to the earth, to the world, to reign on the earth for 1,000 years. This particular verses 11 to 18, he's basically expressing the fact that David's true son, that is that which will come from his seed, the fruit of his body, verse 11, would be the Messiah. And he's the one who will reign on the throne forever. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 to 16, there's a prophecy concerning that, and it is confirmed by the angel. We won't turn to 2 Samuel for the sake of time, but it was confirmed by the angel to Mary. Remember when the angel appeared to Mary? Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33, the angel came to him and confirmed this fact, that indeed from the fruit of David's body he would have an heir who would reign on the throne of God forever. And the angel said, and behold, to Mary, he said, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, small f, that's the physical lineage, his father, David. And that means simply that he was descended from David, as God promised here in Psalm 11, that the fruit of David's body would sit on the throne. And then he said, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, that is Israel, forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So their prophecy was fulfilled. In Jerusalem, God will cause, the Bible says here in Psalm 132, he says he will cause the horn of David to grow. The word horn literally means government or power. Cause David's power, the horn of David, to grow, his posterity to grow from Jerusalem. Indeed, the Bible tells us that Jesus will reign over the earth for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 6 says that he will come. He will bind Satan for 1,000 years. And those who come back with Jesus will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And during that time, of course, his government, indeed, the horn of Christ or David will grow. And the government will indeed be upon his shoulders, as Isaiah tells us, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And that means not only the government of our salvation, but also the government, physical government, for 1,000 years, the posterity, the influence of Christ, of course, will be in the earth. Psalm 133, we're going to finish this. 133 and 134, real quick, they're very short. A song of ascents. Again, this one is attributed to David. He says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon," that is Mount Hermon, "descending upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore." This short psalm is one of praise, the praise of unity. And behold how good and how pleasant for the brethren to dwell together. In the natural sense, there were three times a year where the men, the brethren, would come together and dwell together in Jerusalem. And it was three times a year, according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. And they would come to Jerusalem. There's three times a year that God required that the men would come to Jerusalem. And families would come as well. But it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was Passover, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times a year they were supposed to be there in Jerusalem. And the psalmist says it's wonderful when the brethren come together. We dwell together in unity. Why? Because they're coming to Zion. And just as Jerusalem was the place of brotherly harmony, so Jesus Christ is our commonality. The centrality of Jesus in our fellowship is what makes our unity so beautiful. It is not our denominational name, and it's not what we wear, it is, or anything like that. But it's our unity that we have in Jesus, that we can embrace each other on the basis of who we are in Jesus Christ. That's where we have unity within the church, not on the basis of anything else. In my opinions, we'll never be united over the pastor's opinions. Never. Because everybody has a different opinion. As the old saying goes, you know, everybody has an armpit. Everybody's got a different opinion. Amen. And I'll leave the saying there. And but the reality is that our unity, our brotherly harmony is in the fact that we're in Christ. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in light, we have fellowship with one another." Simple. Simple math. Walk in the light as he is in light, you have fellowship. That's the way it works. It's not any more complicated than that. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse in Psalm 134, the last of the Song of Ascents. This is the last one. He says here, "Bless the Lord. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." I think this is where we got the old hymn, Maranatha song, years ago. I think the old King James says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless ye the Lord." No, anyway, we were just kind of, back in the day. But it was great songs because they're all from Scripture, a lot of those songs. Amen. I miss those songs. And but behold, bless ye the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank God for bringing our journey, in other words, to a prosperous end. You see, no matter where you are tonight, you know, we started in the beginning in Psalm of the ascents. We started with Psalm 120. You remember what the theme was there? "In my distress, I cried to the Lord." And now here we are at the last psalm of the ascent as the people are going up those 15 steps leading up to the inner court, from the court of the women to the inner court where the priests were. The priests would offer the sacrifices that the people would bring. The men would go up and off, but going up those 15 steps. And here, you know, they started out maybe in distress. Maybe they didn't feel like being there. Maybe they were going through something, but they came bringing their offering. And the last step, the last step they were to take in this, in the 15 steps, if you will, of the ascent, they will be singing this song probably. Bless the Lord. We may start in distress, but we will end up blessed. Psalm 134 here. The songs of the ascent end with a blessing. All you servants who by night stand, who is he talking about there? He's talking about those Levites and the priests in the temple. In the temple, there was praise and worship going on 24/7. There never was a time where they didn't have a group of priests or Levites in the temple praising God. And the Bible calls us a royal priesthood, and it is our duty to praise him, to worship him, to give him glory. And so all the saints who stand there at night worshiping the Lord, praising the Lord, the Bible says that they will be blessed. We bless the Lord. Why? For he has blessed us from Zion. It says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Bless the Lord. The Lord has made heaven and earth. Bless you from Zion. God has blessed us from Zion. Zion, of course, is always talking about, speaking of Israel, speaking of Jerusalem in particular. And I could say to you that we are blessed tonight because out of Zion, there was Calvary. And Jesus came, he died on the cross for our sins, and therefore we are blessed. Regardless of what we're going through tonight, God has blessed us out of Zion. Because of Zion, because of Calvary, because of his sacrifice in Zion, we indeed have been blessed. And not only his sacrifice, but his resurrection. And this is the outcome of our race as believers. I think this is another thing that this Psalm 134 represents, is that this is the outcome. The last psalm of the ascents, this is the outcome of our life. At the very end of our life, no matter what we're going through, we will say, bless the Lord. We will be blessed. And thus we can run with assurance tonight. Whether we be in the depths or on the mountaintop, we will all end up eternally blessed in the Lord. That's usually the pattern of my life. My trials usually start with, in my distress, I cry out to you, Lord. And then when I get on the other side of that trial, I'm saying, bless the Lord, you know. And that's when we try to take a little credit for it. Bless the Lord. Oh, Lord, I knew you were going to come through. No, you didn't. You're complaining the whole time. But the end result is you'll be able to say, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, Senior Pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We really need your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study in God's wonderful Word. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.